Blog Talk Radio.
And he's come to know.
Boom, 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 boom.
Well, good evening and welcome to The Man's Voice here on this January Sunday afternoon or evening, however you want to, wherever you are in the United States. I want to welcome you to The Man's Voice, where you'll get to hear all kind of conversation about things, you know, anywhere from international to local to relations or anything. But we're glad you're here and we're glad you're joining us. And I want to tell you a little bit about the show. These are men from all around the United States, from all ages, all ethnicities. We like to get together. Sometimes we argue, but trust us, we're all brothers here in this show, but we just talk the way we want to. But what I want to do, because this is the first show, one of the first shows of the year, is go around the table and introduce the brothers, and I want them to, well, I shouldn't say brothers, the panelists, and get them to tell you a little bit about themselves. So I'm going to go by how they phoned in. Who phoned in first gets to be the first. So what that does is put Soel up front. Soel, tell us a little bit about you, where you are, and, you know, as much as you can.
Okay, well, I live in Las Vegas. I'm 24, in college, political science. In my future, I hope to grow and develop a business and do things that are important to me, and that's all I got to say at this time.
All right. Second on was Jeremiah. Jeremiah, tell us a little bit about you.
I am 34 years of age, reside in Pembroke Pines, Florida, originally from Miami, Florida, business owner. Have a degree in criminal justice, no kids. What else? No kids yet.
All right.
I think that's about it for now.
Okay. Bruce, can you do a little brief introduction about yourself?
Yes. I am one of the elder statesman brothers in the group. I am a retired professional engineer. I've worked all over the continental U.S. and countries beyond, had an excellent career in that regard. I am now in the giving back mode, doing a lot of volunteer work in 4 to 5 different venues, from mentoring to this being one of them that all of us do, to a variety of other things. And I really enjoy the giving back, especially the mentoring and things that I've been able to do with other people. Health-wise, knock on wood, I'm in pretty good shape and enjoying life, gentlemen, enjoying life.
That's good to hear. Okay, Don, you want to tell us a little bit about you?
Yes, David. Hello, gentlemen. How you doing? My name is Don, and I am currently living in Plantation, Florida, better known as Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Originally from Michigan, and I have a marketing and advertising company. Been in radio and television entertainment for over 4 centuries or 5 centuries, let me put it that way. As Bruce said, I am also one of the elder statesmen, married. I have a wonderful wife and 2 grandchildren. I'm a man of God, And I just love life and I love people.
That's great. Okay, now, Darius, can you tell us a little bit about you?
Yes, it's good to hear everybody, man. It's been a while since we've all been together. So I live in the outskirts of Atlanta, Georgia, originally from South Carolina. I am a Christian, first and foremost, which shapes most of my views and opinions that we discuss on this show. I am 50-plus range, 54 years old, father, six girls, marriage on my second marriage, almost been with her almost 10 years now. And I'm an entrepreneur. I guess, I don't know, man. I think that's about it for me. Just try to encourage as many people as I can, man, and just love life, enjoy life, and my kids and my grandkids and my wife.
Darius, you could have stopped at six girls. That was enough right there.
That's more than enough.
That's right.
Well, once again, this is The Man's Voice, and those of you that are listening, we're happy to have you with us. We want you to call in and talk to us. Our number for you to call in is 646-668-8740, and I'll throw that out several times during the show. But as we move along, the way it is, the panelists can bring up what they like. Sometimes I start off, and then we go from there. But if you are listening and you have some thoughts about what we should talk about, please call in and let us know. So I'm going to start off. Well, wait a minute. We just had another panelist call in, and I'm going to open up his microphone and put him. Ron, welcome to the show. What we started off with was telling our listeners about all the panelists. And since you just got here, can you tell us a little bit about you?
Sure. Sorry I'm late. I was dealing with a little issue here. Ron Staten, I live in Miami, and I work at the zoo down here and have been doing the show, wow, is it over 4 years already?
Yep.
Unbelievable. and happy to be here. And a little under the weather right now.
All right. I'm going to start the show off by asking a question to the panelists because I had a couple of requests to have this question several times during our show, and I think we probably talked about this years ago, I think, a couple of years back. But there was a lady who was now being arrested for shooting her husband who had cancer and wanted euthanasia, but he couldn't get it. So she took his life in the hospital. So now she's under arrest for murder. So the question going around the table, what are your views on euthanasia for humans? I know we do it for pets. But I think the question is, how do you feel about euthanasia? Do you think that's something politics should pick up, or do you think it's something we should just let go? And there are couple of you on here who said you are Christians. Well, I want to hear your views too. But let's start off with, once again, the way you called in. So, Soil, what is your thoughts on euthanasia for humans?
It depends. I understand there's some countries that have some form of assisted suicide, whether it be to certain health issues or mental deterioration or like the burden on the family. And I can imagine in this instance, it would be to the spouse and the children to decide if that is something that they want to do and abiding by the wishes and or if that's what that person really wants. I understand you might need to get a decree from a judge. So it's very controversial. I think if from what you're saying, this person willfully killed their husband, and I think that's a horrible thing. But if this is going to be something that's going to be talked about in the future, assisted suicide and allowing people to choose to die, I think it's going to have to require a lot of philosophical reflection regarding this.
Jeremiah, what are your thoughts on euthanasia for humans?
I just think that it shouldn't be forced, and I don't think, I mean, I just feel like, you know, it should be, we should have a natural way of death, honestly, or, you know, things should have been, shouldn't be forced upon anyone. That's just my view, you know.
Okay, I think what I'm asking is, if a person requests euthanasia, do you think doctors should do it? Or do you think, but right now in the United States they cannot. Do you think that we should revisit that issue?
I mean, I think only if you have a really debilitating disease, something where you're suffering to the most extreme extent. I think that would be the only. But at the same time, it's like that's a hard one there. But I think that would be the only. You know, I wouldn't want a 30-year-old person put in their will. That's what they want. But if they're suffering, I mean, there's other things that we can do now. If you're severely suffering from anything. There's medications out there that kind of it's palliative care, so I think that's almost good enough at this point, palliative care. But I don't agree with it.
All right. All right. So next up would be Don. What are your thoughts on euthanasia for humans?
Without a doubt. I don't think man should have anything to do with the time that they leave Earth. They had nothing to do with birth, and they should have nothing to do with the exit. I believe in miracles, and God does do miracles on a daily and regular basis in uncommon ways. We saw it with Hamlin from the Bills football team, when every network and citizen across the country and across the world were praying for a young man that had lost the life and the breath of life on a football field, and now today was sitting in the stands. I believe in miracles, David, and I don't believe in euthanasia. God can, he's a healer. And I believe that. I've seen it because I'm a product of being healed from a seamless, hopeless frame of mind and body. And I'll leave it like that.
All right. Bruce, what are your thoughts on euthanasia for humans?
Oh, boy. Since I have lived through a literal miracle, gentlemen, that I've shared with some of you, and others probably have not. To some great extent, I agree with Don. We are flirting on the edge, toying on the edge of how do we help and when do we leave alone? I think Don's example about the Buffalo football player, but we assisted him. I'm not saying that was bad, but if he would have been left alone, would he have recovered or not? In my case, and I'm not, like I said, I'm not saying he shouldn't have been helped, but he was assisted. Didn't run God's course unless he was, God spoke to other people and said, help this man. In my case, I had a heart fibrillation. I was driving back to work. I went through 20 traffic lights. That's impossible to go through. You're lucky if you make two or three on a very busy Detroit road. All of them turned green to this day. I would swear on a stack of Bibles. For me, I got back to the office. My empty seat told me to get out of the car twice. because I started to argue with it. Like, you know, it's in my head, of course. I got out of the car, got into my office. My employees came into my office and said, you're white as a sheet. We're going to give you this or that. Then they said, you're looking worse. We're going to call the ambulance. The ambulance got there. They had been taught a brand new procedure in a group that never has been together. They were the closest. They came. They used that procedure on me. And without going into any more details, they saved my life twice going to the hospital. I have absolutely no heart damage, which absolutely amazes the doctors. They can't figure it out. So I guess I can tell you, gentlemen, I am a living miracle in regards to the way Don put it.
So you were in pain or kicking all the drugs they give you for cancer and stuff. So you think that people should not, so hospitals should not have the authority to use euthanasia for patients that ask?
Well, are you asking me that, David?
Yes.
That's what I meant by skirting a line. I think we have health professionals that they don't have free license, but they're closer to the family and the situation. And I think Don touched on it, or one of our fine brothers did, that comfort is not control. It's kind of trying to make the person as comfortable as possible, whether that person dies or lives. So I think Soel said too, it's a very complicated subject, but if you made me distill it down, as we can't play God. We should not be playing his role. If we're spoken to and said, help me, or you help this person, maybe that's part of God's role on earth to have people help. In my case, I lived through it in that regard. So, but that's the health professionals that do that, or someone that gives CPR. I don't think we should deny that, but you're going to have people agree with you and disagree with you, no matter what you do.
Right. All right, Darius, what are your thoughts on euthanasia for humans?
Absolutely not. I don't believe in it. I think it was Spencer who said that we have enough options in terms of medication to keep people comfortable. And I believe that if someone is in severe pain and suffering, that we should do the humane thing and try to make them as comfortable as we possibly can. So I don't think they should be denied any amount of medication necessary to bring them comfort. But no, I do not believe in change. I believe that God has set a time for us all, and that, you know, he will decide or determine when that is supposed to happen for each and every one of us. So, short, no, I'm not for euthanasia at all.
All right. Ron, what are your thoughts on euthanasia for humans? Should there be a law? Should the Supreme Court revisit that case, or should we move on like it is?
Well, this may come as a shocker to some of you, but I tend to lean more on the conservative side on this one, and I do understand and honestly believe to the core that nobody should be playing God. The problem that I have is that we play God all the time. Doctors play God all the time. We're cloning animals. We are playing God all the time, and I don't like to see suffering. I don't want to suffer. I've seen people suffering, and they've been given medications. I mean, I saw a lady dying in front of me from MS, multiple sclerosis, and you know, as much as people tried to help her, she just kept suffering and suffering and suffering for weeks and weeks and actually months, and she didn't really want to live, but there was nothing that anybody could do. So I'm torn. You know, I lean more toward, you know, let's not be playing God. But again, we're playing God all the time when we do heart transplants and, you know, liver transplants, whatever. And, you know, we do euthanasia because it's the quote unquote. By the way, there is no right or wrong in this. It's whatever is in your heart, or I think more so whatever God intends us to do. But you know, we do quote unquote the right thing with animals because we don't want to see them suffering, but then we see human suffering and we do nothing about it. That's what I have a hard problem with.
All right. Okay, Spencer, welcome to the table. Can you introduce yourself, tell our listening audience a little bit about yourself, and then answer the question, your thoughts on euthanasia for humans? Should the United States revisit it and or just not at all?
Hey, how you doing, panel? Happy New Year. I'm Spencer, 34. I stay here in Atlanta. And to answer your question, I didn't even know this was going on. You said euthanization of humans?
Yes. We do animals. You know, when an animal is sick and you take them to the vet, sometimes, you know.
Okay. Yeah, in that capacity. So you're talking about, like, as far as pulling the plug, if you will, you know.
Yeah,
that,
somebody happens. Do you think we should do it?
I mean, that's a hard question. I mean, I think people do it already. You know, some people think their loved ones have a chance, so they, or let's say they're in a coma for a couple of years, and we've seen cases that people do come out of these medical-induced coma, you know, and they took a chance of not pulling the plug and end up saving this person's life. So I just think it depends on the family, what they want to do, and how critical the situation is. Some families don't want to see their loved ones in pain, you know, like especially if it's just painful and they can't talk, they can't do nothing like that. And it's just like, especially if they're deteriorating fast and they know it's, you know, death is around the corner, then yeah, you know, they'll go ahead and make the call to put a plug. I don't know personally myself. I guess it depends on the situation, you know, and the condition of the person. If they say it was one of my loved ones, so I guess to me it would just depend on the situation.
So what you're saying is, that it should be an option for the person.
You say that again? Yeah, I can't hear you.
Are you in a car or something? There's a lot of background.
With me?
So what you just said, it sounded like what you were saying was that if a person requested, it should be done.
Well, yeah, like the same, like what's going on now, right? Like, you know, if they request, you know, the doctor come and ask, do you want to take this person off the ventilator, you know, unplug it, however you will. You know, then they say, yeah, I think it should be a question of asking instead of just it being a medical choice or the hospital choice. I think it should go through the family and instead of it being a hospital choice or that doctor's choice. If they make it somewhat like that, then I see how it could. I mean, to me, I still think it's the same, like what's going on now. It's still like the family's choice, unless they're trying to make it that the doctor or the hospital could choose if they pull the plug or not, then that's where I would think I would disagree.
Yeah.
David,
yeah.
Can I ask Michael and the rest of my brothers something on this?
You mean Spencer?
It may be. Oh, I'm sorry. Let him go first. I'm sorry.
No. You're asking Michael. Michael hasn't said anything since that was finished.
Well, okay.
I'm sorry. Was that to me, Bruce? I'm sorry, David.
It's just for everybody. Here's the question. Here's the extension of the question. Do any of you feel, yes or no, you can make it short, that unplugging, you know, we use that term, whatever that means, at some point where the doctors are allowed to unplug the systems that are helping to assist or keeping someone alive. Is that euthanasia or not?
No. My mother was unplugged. I don't think it's euthanasia.
What do you think it is, Ron?
There was nothing more, according to the doctors, that they could do. So they said it's time to make the decision. And we unplugged her after a month of trying and after a month of suffering.
So basically, God's course finished, so to speak, right?
Well, I mean, what's the alternative?
No, I'm not arguing. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just trying to get clarity
on
what you mean. That's all.
It's very tough. I mean, it's a very tough decision, but, you know, the alternative is not a good one.
No, that's true.
I'd like to chime in on this subject.
Wait a minute. Before that happens, let's get to the last.
Right after you get done, David, Bruce, ask a question before you could get to the complete panelists.
Right.
I apologize.
We have one more, Michael, and Michael just got in. And Michael, first introduce yourself and then answer the question of if you believe that the United States should allow euthanasia for adults or humans or not. And not just adults, humans, so kids too, if anybody who requests it.
Hey, David, thanks for calling on me. Introducing myself, I'm Michael, calling from the West Coast. Thanks for having me on again, David. That's a tough one, to be honest, David. I struggle with that one because I don't believe that if someone is terminally ill and they're on their deathbed and, like Ron said, you know, the plug, I guess, is keeping them alive, as much as you love them and you want to continue to keep them, you're not prolonging their life. You're actually prolonging their death, point where it's over for them and there's no coming back, then I don't think it's to answer the question. No, I don't think the government should sanction or be okay with someone being euthanized without the family's permission. I guess that answers the question.
All right. Don, you want to bring something up?
Yes, I do, David. David, let's be very clear about the situation. Doctors have no right to operate in a godlike mentality. They went to school to be a physician. They are not the true physician. And I'm going to say it like this. The product cannot fix the product. What I mean by that is we are all products of God. He gave us a beginning, and he gave us a ending, already preordained before we came to earth. And all we can do is operate in the hash mark. Don't play God.
Okay. Anybody have any other points on this subject?
Yeah. Question. Now, when you say utilization, right, so if we're doing it in terms of animals, usually they'll say, oh, this dog bites someone. They're like, he goes to the, you know, they set him off and he gets utilized. So are we talking in that terms also, like as far as criminal activity, or just if someone is terminally ill?
Dogs are not human. Don't get it twisted.
Well, I know, but I guess I was using the term, but never mind.
Well, if I may expand on that. That's actually a very good question because I know somebody – I've had people in my life that I've known who were suicidal, who just didn't want to be here anymore, who just were depressed and were just going through suicidal thoughts. And I used to question, like, well, maybe if this person wants to end their life, should they have the right to just go ahead and end their life? So that I struggle with that question, to be totally honest with you, David. Who and who not has a right to tell someone they don't live anymore?
All right. Any other points? You know, President Biden, one of the strong points of his campaign when he was running for office was that he was going to get rid of execution in law for all states. Somehow that has not happened. So execution basically is euthanasia, just another format of it. So what are your thoughts on the law of states being able to, in court, say if somebody kills somebody or something, they can have them put to death? What are your thoughts on that, Soel?
So what was it about death? What happened?
You know, states can, courts can have a person executed. Some states, not all states, some states, Texas does. So, for crime. But the president, part of his campaign was to get rid of capital punishment like that. But it hasn't happened.
Okay.
So I don't know why it hasn't happened. But so what are your point of view? If you, you know, that's euthanasia in a different format, but it's still the same thing. So what are your thoughts on that?
Capital punishment is kind of like a tricky thing. There are many states where capital punishment is legal, but been many states that haven't executed someone in years. I think the last time Nevada executed someone was, I think, in 2006. So it just depends on, like, the location. And to be honest, there's so many states that have legalized execution, because if you look at a United States map, it only takes 2 out of 3 states to amend the Constitution. If Biden tries to do that, which he will likely fail, every single conservative state in the union, Wyoming, Texas, Utah, Tennessee, Mississippi, basically every state in the South, basically, it's going to be a war. It's not going to happen. So that's just my general opinion. Same thing with, like, abortion. If 2 out of 3 states wanted it, it can be amended in the Constitution, but it's not going to happen because most of the states in America are conservative.
Right. Bruce, what are your thoughts on that capital punishment, and should we still be doing it? Although Biden obviously was against it, but he hasn't done anything since he's been in office on eliminating it. Maybe he knows he can't, but that was part of his run for office. That was part of what he said he would do when he get in office.
Yeah, I agree that this is extremely tricky, and you're flirting with playing God again, whether it be a court system, whether it be an individual, whether, you know, you start quoting some people will quote the Bible, you know, the eye for an eye and retribution and all of that. I don't feel in my position as a human being, God-fearing person, that I am allowed, capable, privileged, maybe that's not the right word, but you know what I'm trying to say. I should not be making that decision. And if you expand that out to groups, whether it be a court, whether it be that, then you get into a real sticky wicket on when, where, and whatever. Is it an absolute? I don't know how we tap into the most God-fearing way and then put someone to death. So it's a real struggle for me. To sit on a jury and have to judge somebody on the death penalty, boy, that would be tough. That would be very tough. I haven't had to do that, but I'm telling you, I think that would be a real problem for a lot of people. I would like to think so. That doesn't really answer your question, but it at least shows my position.
Right. All right, Jeremiah, what are your thoughts? You are a political science major or something, so what are your thoughts on the states, having the power to put people to death.
I don't agree with it. It shouldn't be allowed. Like I said earlier, and as far as putting somebody to death, you know, that's between them and God. The state shouldn't be allowed to do so.
Okay. What about you, Don?
I don't believe that the state should have anything to do with the life process. I know the Bible says an eye for an eye, but you have to read the pretext, the text, and the post-text to understand why that's in the Bible. But the thing is, the point is, we just had a situation here in Florida where a young man walked into a school and killed numerous amount of people. And people thought that he should have the death penalty. And he was not given the death penalty. He's life incarceration. And to this day, they're at arms that he should be given the same thing that he administered, death. Well, not being able to see and communicate with a human being, only given 1 hour a day to take a shower and see sunlight through a window, is a form of death to me. Because anytime you can't communicate with another person, in which we are put here to communicate like we are doing now on the man's voice, is a form of death. Be fruitful and multiply. And if you can't do that, then you are dead. So I don't believe in, like I said before, human beings having a godlike mentality and acting like God. He set a day and a time for all of us gentlemen to leave Earth. The key is to enjoy the journey. And the journey may not be pleasant for some that make terrible choices in life, but you still need to enjoy the journey. And I rest my case and drop the mic.
All right. Darius, what are your thoughts?
Well, I noticed there's been a conflation of the issue of euthanasia with, you know, pulling the plug. First of all, I wanted to kind of clear that up. I think when you pull the plug on someone, I think Bruce posed a question, you know, that person, by all medical terms, is already dead. So they're alive because there's a machine keeping them alive in the hopes that their body would come back, or, you know, they would take over. So when you pull the plug on someone, I don't think that's considered euthanasia because, like I said, that person is already medically dead in most cases. So you're not killing them. You're just pulling the plug and you're taking away that machine that's keeping them alive. But the ultimate thing is still up to God. So you can pull the plug on someone and they can still keep on breathing if that's God's will. So I wanted to try to differentiate those two. But in terms of executions, I believe that the states should have the right to make those laws. I don't think the federal government should step in, and I'm for at least power out of the hands of the federal government as possible. But personally, I would not be upset if they did away with the death penalty. I'm not for it. But when you have cases like Don was talking about this guy who went in, shot up all these kids in school, and if those guys don't get the death penalty, then no one should. It needs to be done away with, period. And I also think when you talk about the death penalty, you look at some of these cases from long, long ago where people were on death row unjustly. I don't think anybody should be put to death if there isn't any physical evidence, if there isn't any DNA evidence, and you've got people who've been people who are on death row because of a false witness, someone bearing false witness. I think the burden needs to be a little bit higher than that if you are going to enforce the death penalty.
All right. Ron, what are your thoughts?
I was waiting, Darius, for somebody to say, you know, that there's been cases where there's been either mistakes or false information that was found later on, years, and in some cases even decades later. So I'm glad you said that. But I'm with Don on this one. To me, it's very simple. I don't think anybody, any man, should have that power to take another man's life. And it's plain and simple to me. That's the bottom line. Mistakes are made sometimes, so that's another reason. And I agree, Don, that I think it's more of a punishment in my mind to have to spend the rest of your life in jail than it is to end your life. When your life ends, that's it. There's no more suffering. When you're in jail, you're punished every single day of your existence. So I don't think state or federal government should have the right to do that.
All right. What about you, Spencer? What are your thoughts on this conversation on putting the death penalty in states? Spencer, are you there? Mm-hmm. All right, Michael, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm piggyback off of what the guys were saying about spending time in prison for the rest of your life for a murder. That's far more, that's far worse than death, to be honest with you. I've done time in prison. I've been to prison, and I know what it's like to be in there and have your freedom taken away. And I was in there for a very short amount of time, and I was always thinking, man, death's got to be better than this. This is horrible. So to have someone go to prison for the rest of their life for committing a murder, I think that makes far more sense than killing that person for committing that murder. I'm just totally against capital punishment. I don't think no man has a right to – only God gave life, only God can take life. That's what I believe. So I'm totally, totally against capital punishment.
Okay. Now, you made an interesting comment there. But we'll talk about it another time.
Well, what was the comment? So I'll know we can talk about it later.
You know, you're always telling us you're an atheist, but now you're saying if God gave him life, then only God should take it away. So I'm confused on how you can.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about
it. I love hearing him say that, man. I mean, he's definitely
yeah, me too.
By saying that, man. Michael, I love you, bro.
I'll give clarity on that on another day.
Yeah.
Michael goes, uh-oh.
All right. We only have like 15 minutes left in the show, so I want to move around the table with whoever, but I'm going to go by who the call-in order. And if you don't, if you want to move on, just say I pass. So, Soel, do you have something you want to bring to the table?
Okay, I have this. I'm not sure if anybody has heard about this, but Kroger, which is one of the largest grocery stores, I think the largest grocery chain in America, has bought Smith's. And there's a law in the United States that prevents any one company from having a large market share. And they now essentially, I believe, have over 60%, or I think it might be much more of that, of the market share of commercial grocery stores in the United States. So do you think that the United States should go in there and break up that purchase that they bought Albertsons? And there's actually estimation that the grocery prices have already increased. I'm pretty sure people have been paying attention to the price of eggs. So what is your opinion on that?
Anybody got any Darius, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't think that any one company should have more than 50% of the market share on anything. I believe, I don't know what the exact percentage is for monopolies, but if that is in fact the case, then the federal government would go in there and break that up. You know, but yeah, I don't think any one company should have more than 50% market share.
All right, Don, what are your thoughts?
I agree with Darius. Kroger should not have a monopoly on the food consumption or the food purchase in America. It used to be small, independent grocery stores in neighborhoods in America, but these major corporations and conglomerates have joined together to create monopolies, like Sewell said, and it's driven the price of food up in America, and it needs to stop.
That's so true, because everybody now is collecting chickens because they can't afford eggs. So what's your thoughts on that, Ron?
Yeah, I agree with everybody. I don't know that 50% is a number, and I don't know who would determine what that mark is. But, conglomerations are definitely not a good thing for consumer prices.
What about you, Jeremiah? Your thoughts?
Same as the guys. I agree with Darius and Don. Should not be happening. So if so, we need to let the government step in and break that up.
All right. Michael, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I concur. Yeah, the government needs to step in. I don't believe in monopolies, and if they have more than 50% of the market share, the government needs to step in and break that up.
All right. Sewell, did you get a good answer? Did you need, is there anything else you want to ask?
No, that's it.
Okay.
Sewell, can I answer? Can I contribute?
Yeah, sure.
I didn't hear anybody say one caveat to all that. I agree with everybody about the monopoly issue and having Kroger or any other company, if it was another example, having too much power. However, this needs to be posed too. In the grocery situation, having food deserts, as they say, and so forth, how do we address the issue in underprivileged and troubled areas where some of these bigger corporations, say, may have a store of some sort, and a mom-and-pa operation says, I'm not going back in there? Are we depriving those people of having any kind of a food source that maybe the bigger company might have in some way provided? That's the question I'm posing.
There's always Walmart, Bruce.
Yeah, right. But that's the only thing, is kind of, clipping off your nose despite your face kind of thing. We need to, and maybe the government would be one that somehow addresses that need. But having less stores where certain areas have no stores is not an answer either.
Well, Bruce, you know, I want to say this. You can go to the north side of Flint, Michigan, where they had the water crisis in Flint, Michigan, and there are no grocery stores. There's a food desert.
Yeah.
There should be a grocery store there.
Yeah. So, Mon Pa might say, I can't create what they need up there. I don't have that kind of finances, but maybe a corporation, for whatever reason, or convinced by the government or the people that are local, could in some way finance a different kind of food island in that desert. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Well, from a price standpoint, they can't compete with the
major chains like Meijer, Kroger, well, you're right.
Walmart.
You're right.
People are always going to say, well, I can go and buy it cheaper if I have to drive 5 miles.
All right, Gilman. Jeremiah.
Hey, David, I have something important I wanted to bring to the table, if it's okay.
Sure, go ahead.
I want to talk to the crowd, to the crew real quick about this George Santos situation. I don't know if you guys have been following it. That's the congressman
of New York. You stole my story, Michael. You stole my story. That is amazing.
Hey, but real quick, this is my point. I'm going to just in a whole different direction, that whole story, if you guys have followed that story. But just for the audience real quick, George Santos is a congressman from New York who got elected based on lies. He lied on his resume during the campaign and said he went to elite colleges, worked on Wall Street. He just lied. my point is, I actually agree with the guy. I'm actually on the guy's side, and he's a Republican, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm on his side because I've always thought it was unfair that every member of Congress either went to an elite school or worked on Wall Street. In other words, you have to be an elitist in order to get elected to the people's house, and I don't think that's fair. There are no plumbers, nurses, engineers, just regular guys like us on this phone serving in Congress. And that's because the bar is so high. You got to be a Harvard-educated lawyer to get educated, to get nominated. So I think that guy, Santos, should make that his argument, that see what I had to do to get here? This place is not for the average guy. This place is only for people who are on Wall Street and with the Harvard. So go ahead, Don. I want to hear your thoughts on that.
It's amazing. You know, you are so right. I never looked at it heard it spin the way that you just spun it. However, here's a guy that just outright lied on his mom, his education, his money, everything that a person could lie about to get elected. And the voting block bid it hook, line, and sinker. And the Republican Party is afraid to deal with it because they need his vote. It's crazy. I'm going to leave it like that.
Hey, Darius, what about you? What do you think? Don't you think the bar is too high to get in there and what this guy did was pretty clever?
Yeah, Michael, leave it up to you, man. I was taking a back seat because I thought we were taking a light day today, man. David was intentionally trying to keep us out of politics, I think. But he couldn't keep you down, though, Michael. You wouldn't let it get. Nah, man, I think you're right. There is a blue blood type of situation, man, for people to get into politics, and it is too hard for the common man to get into politics. But I'm hearing everybody saying that the Republicans should push to get rid of George Santos. Do you know, man, if we push for people to get kicked out of Congress because they lied, there would be nobody there.
I agree.
Yeah. I'm not saying what this guy did was right, but every district or every state has the opportunity to be represented by whoever they would like. And I mean, we got people who lied about being Indian, being a Native American. We have people who lied about being veterans in Vietnam, and people who say they grew up in a black church, Joe Biden, and grew up, you know, it's just, we have all kinds of lies that are out there, man, that people have said. But I don't think it's up to the Republican Party to step in and take care of that. It's up to the people from his district to say, we do not want this guy to represent us. And I think that's where we should leave it on all of it. But, yeah, Michael, to your point, absolutely, it's too difficult. There needs to be something done where the ordinary man and woman can run.
Okay. Bruce, what do you think?
Well, thank you for calling on me. I would add to what the two of you have said, Michael and Darius, that we can be our own worst enemy. If we're going to be principled enough to say, you lied on this and this and this and this, you're not the person you said you are, to the public, enough of us aren't going to vote for you, you're not getting in. But we don't do that, do we? We don't take our voting serious. First of all, we have to take it serious because people live and die to protect that right for us. Even though we take it for granted, we know it's not for granted. It's not without payment. But also, myself included, many times we're not strong enough to be principled enough on certain things that matter to us that say, you know what, your morals or your fiber of your being doesn't line up enough with me, and I'm not voting for you. I don't think enough of us do that, and I'm guilty of it sometimes, and sometimes I'm not. I try to do a lot of research, but on every single person I vote, I'd be lying if I said I did.
All right, gentlemen. One of the reasons why we lost Spencer was he was saying that the baby is crying, and he didn't want the baby to make noise. So Spencer, are you back? The baby's still crying? Yeah, so You know how new dads are. You got to learn. All right. Did you get all the answers to things you needed, Michael, on what you brought to the table?
I want to hear what Soel has to say about it.
Okay. I will say this. I think I don't blame George Santos because I think you're right. I mean, there's 535 people in Congress comprised of senators and people of the House of Representatives. Only 1.5 of those people did not gain a college degree. And I think it's unfair that they expect in this economy for a lot of people to have a college degree when you don't need it. And there's so many jobs that don't need it. I mean, I was looking at this job listing. They had a manager for a Dollar Tree, and they wanted this person to have a master's degree to be the manager of a Dollar Tree. I think it's incredibly unrealistic. And like George Santos, yeah, I mean, how many people, especially men, have lied on their resume and stretched things to get a good paying job? I think there's a lot of people that have stretched things on their job, on their resume, to get a good paying job. And I can't blame George Santos. I really can't. I think the moral ethical things that he's done are extremely atrocious, and I think he should be responsible for that. I think we should be able to recall members from Congress, but he's done what a lot of people have done, and he just got caught. And I think a lot of people who are hypocrites who are criticizing him have put things on their resume that they know for a fact are not true.
Hear, hear. What about
hey, Michael?
Ron?
Oh,
Ron, let's
hear
what Ron
Michael.
Says.
I'll just say two things. One is I'm glad I don't live in his district because I would not be able to trust the guy, unfortunately. Even though yes, probably 100% of the people lie. It's just the nature of who we are this day. But the other thing I was going to say is I can't wait to have ChatGPA write up my resume for me. I think it's ChatGPA, isn't it? That AI, artificial intelligence, that can write novels and essays and resumes for
yeah.
you?
Gentlemen, we only have 2 minutes left on the show, but I have a caller who wants to join in and ask a question. Okay, sir, you have something you want to talk to us about? Go ahead.
Yes, just two quick things. Thank you again for being a great host. I would say, regarding Mr. Santos, I think it should ultimately be left up to the people of his district to make that decision. I also concur that, our Congress are terrible. Those are terrible people there. And anyway, I don't think he's done anything that they haven't done times 10. The other point I would like to make is regarding your request for different topics. I have called in before. I think most of the people here are married. However, that doesn't reflect, and that's a good thing, by the way. But that doesn't reflect the majority population in America today. According to Pew Research, there are more single people. So I think it would be good to discuss the plight of men, particularly in America with respect to relationships and having to go abroad other places and avoid the family courts. Those are just a few observations I wanted to suggest.
That's great. All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Any other points that our caller, any questions for him? Well, we're down to the last minute. So we want to thank everybody for listening and thank the listener who called in. We appreciate you calling in. We will be back again next week. Once again, you're listening to The Man's Voice. And our panelists are from all over the United States, and we love it when you call in and ask questions. So, gentlemen, thank you for, I think it was a great show. We will be back again next Sunday at 6 p.m. All right. Have a great week, guys. And one good thing about this, do you believe that Michael and Don agreed with Darius? Our first show, and we're doing well. All right.
Miracles do happen.
The year is young.
Show,
the year
gentlemen.
Is young.
Hey, we're going
right.
up.
God
gentlemen.
Bless. God bless everybody. Have a good week.
Right.
God bless you.
Even you, Michael. There's a seed of hope for you. It's called the mustard seed.
Michael, we love you, boy.
We do. We do.
Thank you.